Lasky? Will and Holly. Yeah, look, I need you to get me on the national news pronto. Why? Because we may very well be dealing with the two most dangerous men on the planet.
So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable, Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you at Wrestling Weekly. Welcome, guys. It's the July 10th episode. Tonight we've got the assassin, Jody Hamilton. He is the promoter over there at Deep South Wrestling. Has just come back from the ashes after being dropped developmental.
Back from the ashes.
From the ashes. He really didn't know if he was going to keep going with this or not.
Well, yes, I know that, but from the ashes, Doc.
From the ashes.
Okay, whatever. That's
the quote of the week, my friend. Kevin Kelly is also going to be on. He's former WWE announcer.
Is he coming from anywhere like the ashes?
He is coming from the abyss.
From the abyss.
To Wrestling Weekly tonight.
All right, whatever.
I have these just huge... sensationalistic lines today because
you're kind of cranked, aren't you? Have you had sex or something?
No, but I've been reading a lot of
for the first time.
Sex me? No. I've been reading a lot of sensationalistic headlines this week.
Oh, okay.
That's why.
I thought maybe we need to drug test you too or something.
No. But will get right into the news, of course. A little bit of Chris Benoit news this week.
You have this much energy. That's the news. But anyway, go ahead.
Am I usually not energized?
Well, you're not quite this energized.
I thought
bunny.
I was always up for the show.
No, bunny, not usually.
They are reporting today, authorities are reporting that some of the chemical tests on the bodies of Chris Benoit and his wife have been completed. Officials are mum now, though, about what the results show. A spokesman for the Georgia Bureau of Investigation told the Associated Press that his agency was waiting for all the tests to be complete before sharing the results with the investigators over in Fayette County. So, that's part of it, and now I guess we're going to have to wait for the rest
You know, they're going to, again, it's not just a fact of what they, you know, it's in what quantities and how long it was there.
Mm-hmm.
That's all things they're looking at, too. It's not just so cut and dried, you know.
Right.
They've got something. Here it is. That's the end of it. Goodbye. You
know? Yeah.
So.
Fox 5 in Atlanta is reporting that the DEA is currently looking into the death of former ECW and WCW tag team champion Mike Johnny Grunge Durham as part of their current investigation against Dr. Phil Aston, who, of course, was Benoit's doctor. For those who remember, Durham passed away February of last year. At 40 years old, according to Fox 5, Aston had reportedly written a prescription for 120 tablets of Soma, that's a muscle relaxer, by the way, to Durham the day before he died. Durham was found dead with an empty prescription bottle.
But what were they, I mean, looking into it, you know, I would think, you know, they say that people on drugs sometimes will forget what their dose is. I mean, when I say drugs, I don't mean just, you know, someone doing something for recreational. I mean, you know, sometimes someone that actually, you know, who's in pain will forget they've taken X number of pain pills or something like that. That's my point. It's not necessarily an athlete or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was getting at is it seems that to have forgotten you've taken all, you know, and end up taking them all. I don't know.
I've heard horror stories about people doing, you know, 40, 50 somas a day.
Well, now, who was the kid on the West Coast that was in with Candido and Sonny there for a while. It was like their stooge. What the hell? Oh, come on.
Oh, God. Cloudy?
Huh?
The one that played Cloudy? Or
the one that played who?
Cloudy.
Cloudy. I don't.
You don't remember Cloudy?
This kid was like overweight, and Chris was trying to get him in shape.
Oh,
when
man.
I say overweight, I mean a little.
Yeah, I know
chubby.
You're talking about.
He wasn't actually, you know.
Can't remember his name right now though.
Okay,
that's
well,
pretty sad.
Yeah, I can't either. And then in that off one, it's horrible to say that. I mean, but anyway, point being, you know, that the story was that he was taking 50 or 60 a day.
Wow.
I can't even I can't even fathom that. I honest to God can't. I mean, that's just like pouring him down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like one every 15 minutes or something. Mm-hmm. I just can't even imagine. And I've heard some horror stories about guys with doing different anabolic things in extremes too, you know, which is it's just I've never been in that. You know, of that particular, I have an addictive nature to certain things, but I guess drugs just aren't one of them.
Right.
I don't know. This is going to open a big can of.
Yeah, once you start getting onto the painkillers and things like that, all of a sudden, you know, the regular dosage doesn't work anymore.
Right.
You become immune to it, and you just need more and more, and pretty soon it becomes too much.
And you know, here's something, too, and I'm not trying to gloss over anything or disguise it. Is there a problem in the wrestling business? You know what? I guess there's always been a little bit of people doing too much of something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then I think you'll find that across the board in sports and entertainment. Again,
right.
You know, I'm not trying to gloss it over or say that there shouldn't be something. You know, if somebody's got a way of keeping guys from dying young, I'm all for that. I mean, I really am, but I don't know what that is. You know, and the other thing is, you know, realize people that compete at this level. Whether it be baseball, football, basketball, professional wrestling, MMA, bicycling, I guess, is even under a cloud over the last couple of years. So, I mean, who do you exempt here? You know,
I don't know. Yeah,
but you know what? Then when you look at prescription stuff, Mary Sue the steno, you know, in the typing pool. At the big conglomerate may be an abuser,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But she won't get this kind of publicity, even if indeed she does overdose by accident or on purpose.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It'll be covered, but there's going to be no big deal.
Now, I like, and I see, like, websites like TMZ.com and things like that. Their whole job is to send people out to clubs and film celebrities going in and drinking and coming out drunk and saying stupid things. That's their whole job, is to film these things happening.
Right.
Now, can you imagine something like that in wrestling, where all the wrestlers went to the same clubs every night and things like that? It would be a completely different, you know, scenario as far as reaction from the general public about what's going on. And I think it's just, it all goes back to the stigma of wrestling, and that it's treated as not a sport, silly circus.
Wrestling, you know, it's like, I guess, they, and I didn't see Larry King last night, but I guess they were talking about unions, is it a good idea? Of course it is, you know, although, you know, now you look at the NFL, which, you know, my God, pro football in this country is huge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they're ex-players, and I'm not talking about guys played 30 years ago. I'm talking about guys who played 5, 6, 7 years ago aren't getting the medical benefits that they're expecting, and guys who have played in the league long enough to receive these benefits but can't work because of the injuries related to pro football. Like one guy lost his home, was homeless. You know, and he can't walk without without crutches,
yeah,
or canes. And I'm not trying to cast the shadow on somebody else, but I'm just saying across the board, it's not like wrestling is just going to stand up there and say, well, you know, and again, I'm not going to tell you that you know, a union would be beneficial in a lot of ways, you know, like at the Screen Actors Guild for actors, you know,
right.
there's medical benefits, there's life insurance, there's on and on and on. You know, anything would be a help, because those of us who have spent our life in this business, other than what we have prepared in our, you know, on our own in terms of retirement, there is none.
Yeah.
You know, no medical or anything.
I think they should really incorporate, like, you know, WWE always says they want to be entertainment. Wrestling is entertainment. It's a sports entertainment. Let it be entertainment. If there was somebody that was on TV as much as Rob Van Dam has been in the last year, he would have had a SAG card a long time ago.
Oh, sure.
That's a Screen Actors Guild
oh,
card,
yeah,
by the way, for you guys.
I know. I did a cartoon voice for a friend of mine who's an animator,
mm-hmm.
and he's pitching it. It's about wrestling, and I'm the commentator in the cartoon. But anyway, he was mentioning that. He said if indeed he were to sell that, you know, and those of us, Percy Pringle played one character, Charlie Smith, the old NWA referee from Atlanta, was in the... Anyway, he was mentioned right then, and one of the first things he said, you know, of course, you'll join SAG, and which you'll get benefits and stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know? And, yeah, cool, I'm up with that, you know.
That's definitely why a lot of the...
Well, it's, you know, and here's the other thing, too, is the guy, going back to my generation, and let me say this, there's guys of my generation who are... comfortable, but you know, for the most part, there weren't retirement plans. I mean, that stuff started in the '60s,
mm-hmm.
I guess, at some point. And it, you know, now there were guys who were into all that and stocks, and who were, like I say, you know, did well. But in general, you know, guys weren't predisposed to look at those things, you know, or you know, didn't. I guess is more to the point, but you know, still, and I'm not mad. Don't get me wrong. You know that there, but yeah, I mean, for the, I think it's great that someone like Jericho can take time off. That he's taking that good care of his money.
Right.
You know, at his age, I think that's tremendous. And I mean, I don't. He's selling out, or he's, you know, no, he's being smart. I'm, you know, I think that's great.
Right.
That Christian could take a lighter schedule in TNA to try to get a shot at a higher level visibility in the business. Molly Holly, you know, is retired. I think that's great, man.
Lita's retired, too. Lita's retired, too.
Yeah.
I read an article not too long in one of the major newspapers about her life after WWE, and she seems pretty happy.
Well, you know, it is a grueling schedule, you know, these aren't things that if you mention them, that is like it's a big secret,
right?
You know, but still, they're like on four, off three. But you know, I guess I probably said this here before, where us during in the territories, or you might, I mean, like I might drive from Ohio into Indiana and run into a different time zone, you know, like when if I were coming to your house.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't run into, you know,
three.
I mean, they change countries, right?
Right.
You know, and back and forth, and which complicates the problem with staying, you know, with your body clock, and you know, but it's tough to stay. I competed, and I'm not saying this because a lot. I never wore this on my shirt, but I mean, just to make a point, I competed as a master's bodybuilder up to almost 53, and I did it drug free. But now, in the same respect, I wasn't going to step on a stage with a guy who was using and you know, had the genetics and he didn't look any place near as good, you know, even a guy my age.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the point is, you can stay in shape, but it's and if you have a tremendously fast metabolism, your own guy is obviously easier. If you don't, it's not. And but it can be done, but it's tough. And this you know, so you know, I and some guys know when to take off and take a little time, or they mentally when they're off for the 3 days recharge their mental batteries as well.
Right.
You know, because it's not just all physical; it is mental, and there's politics, and there's the pressure of well, what did you do for, you know, never mind what you did for me yesterday, what can you do for me tomorrow, today and tomorrow?
Right.
You know, and so it's there's never a letdown in that situation. And if you got the top slot, you got to protect it. And if you and work your butt off to stay there, or politic your butt off to stay, or whatever the case may be,
right.
You know. And if you're young and energetic and wanting to excel, then you're looking to move up, you know. So everybody's pushing everybody else. I don't mean, you know, like me challenging you or you challenging me, but that's the atmosphere.
Do you think that, like, if wrestling scaled things back, you know, maybe had guys on the road less?
Well, you know, there again, it varies with people, right?
Right.
Look, here's Brock Lesnar, who was on a $1 million downside, multi-year guarantee,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And walked away from it because he had to try something,
right?
Right. Which, you know, I, when you're young, you do things like that. But I mean, the point is, here's this big, strong guy who just couldn't deal with the schedule. If you remember, he even bought his own plane. And I think WWE worked a deal where whatever the expense of their plane tickets for him would be, they kicked into the ante, I guess, to pay for the pilot and the gas or whatever. Some deal similar to that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Quit anyway.
Right.
Now, you know, how many guys out there hold up your hand and take $1 million? And, you know, and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
And that was so he could be home more. So, you know.
So it just depends on person to person.
Well, yeah, exactly. He, you know, and like I say, here's a young, strong athlete that competed at a high level in college. And I know he was competitive and driven. I was around him enough when he was down in OVW. But, I mean, it's still, he burned out quick.
Mm-hmm.
See? Some guys will never burn out. Other guys, but you don't know. You don't know. And here's the thing, and I think I mentioned this last week or the week before. The one thing has got nothing to do with drugs or anything else has been going on since I would have been in the business, and that is, whether it's 40 years ago or yesterday, is if you're in a good position of making money and not necessarily just the top guy, but, you know, you're doing well and being utilized properly or good. You will tend to want to work through injuries. Why? Well, because you can't be sure of that spot when you come back.
Right.
You know. And is there a way to do that? I don't know. Or, you know, now why not say, well, look, you know, you'll come back with a little push at this level, or something like that, where a guy will tend to, okay, I need this break then, you know, because the body needs to recharge. This little, these couple little injuries need to, you know.
Right.
You know, but, you know, sometimes there's mental burnout, too. I mean, believe me, you know, and you can't see that because a guy's limping, you know, or sometimes you can't see it at all.
Right.
You know.
Do you think... going back to it, if they scaled back and they just said, okay, you know, let's try to make it, you know, appealing for everybody, let's do half the time on the road that we're doing now, do you think the wrestling itself would suffer in that situation?
Well, you know what? Well, here's the thing. See, that it's a two-edged sword in our business, and I'm going to be a guy who promotes this. I push it in my camps. When I do camps, get in the ring as often as you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how you learn. That's how you get good. That's how you refine what you know. It's repetition and doing it over and over and over until it becomes a part of you, you know, opposed to something you have to stop and ponder or you know, belabor you mentally over. It's something that has becomes a part of your fiber. You know, if that sounds hokey, I don't know, but it does. You know, that's who the masters are. You know, they switch, shift gears, and react and do things as things go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not predetermined.
Right.
And that, you know, that's something that only, you know. Well, you know, an example I just gave to a couple young guys the other day. You go to Las Vegas and watch the chorus lines, right, in the nightclub, in the shows, and they do two shows a night, and they've been doing this routine for Lord knows how long. And guess what? Tomorrow at 1 o'clock in the afternoon or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, if you go into that showroom again, you'll see them in there rehearsing,
right,
and doing the same thing over and over again.
Right?
Why?
To get good. Perfect.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. And that's the problem. You need that time in the ring, you know, to stay sharp.
And I think a lot of this goes back to, like, people's first experiences in training. Why are we taking the same bump over and over all day long? So it will be like clockwork, so it'll be natural, you know.
Yeah, and a lot of things with learning the bump is safety factor.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing too, is so many people don't understand. Well, you know how to fall. Yes, but you're still a 230-pound or 50-pound or whatever it is you weigh, dead weight falling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like you float down like a feather. You know,
right?
It's a jar on your entire body, and there's no getting around that.
And it's not a trampoline you're landing on either.
No, it's not. There is some give, but it's not like it's not a trampoline by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
All you'd have to do is go through a class on bumps, and you would understand. It wouldn't take a second class to make you understand the physical, beating that your body takes.
Right.
You know.
I want to go back to the original story on here about Johnny Grunge. And I do want to make it clear that the autopsy report did list Johnny Grunge's passing as a result of a coronary artery blockage and morbid obesity. The medical examiner did say that he did find some soma and hydrocodone in his system. They said that might have sped it along. But it's probably not, a big contributor to the death. This
right.
is what was said last year. Johnny Grunge's wife, Penny Durham, was recently interviewed on WSB-TV, Channel 2 in Atlanta, stating that had it not been for Dr. Aston giving medication like candy to her husband, he might still be alive. She just said she wants the truth to be revealed. She was also asked about Nancy and Chris's son having Fragile X, and she said that's ridiculous and that they would have told her.
Well, I think so. If you were around as much as she, obviously was around the family, then things like that you're going to detect anyway.
Right.
You know, I don't think you have to be told. So I don't know where that all started, but the fact that he may have had. His growth wasn't as, progressive as they would have liked.
Mm-hmm.
I say they, meaning everyone, I guess, including a pediatrician at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But see, that's the other thing, too. That's what anabolic steroids were made for to begin with.
Right.
You know, for people with growth deficiencies and one thing and another. So,
A lot of people just hear the word steroids and they
and then they envision Chris, I guess, hovering over him with a needle.
Right, but they were medicine. They were made to help.
Yes, and since we haven't heard any more about that, my assumption, and that's all I can say it is at this point, it would be that they did, prove that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it was, it was prescribed medically and, who knows? Well, you'll know what was in his system or wasn't in his system here shortly anyway.
Right.
Right, because I'm sure they did toxicology on him too.
Right. A lawyer for Dr. Aston said that the doctor has no plans at this time to plead guilty to any of the charges that he is up against. I guess he's going to fight this all the way through.
Whatever.
The pretrial hearing is set, I believe, July 19th.
Uh-huh.
Is the pre-trial conference. So we'll see what happens with that. That's not going to go away for a long time.
Well, I don't know how you fight that. If indeed he was giving Chris 10 months worth of steroids every 4 to 6 weeks, that's,
right.
I mean, my God. And then I've heard the stories, was he dealing? No, That I don't believe. I can't imagine why he was, you know,
it's pretty hard to also defend yourself against giving out blank prescriptions.
Yes.
Which I guess he did. They didn't have any dates on them is what I mean by that.
Oh, okay.
As far as fills and refills and things like that, he was giving these out undated prescriptions, which, you know, that's immediate grounds for having your medical license revoked.
Yes.
So, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting trial. Moving on to some more Benoit news this week, and there have been a lot of rumors going around lately. We're going to clear some of those up, but right now Fox Channel 5 is reporting that investigators are becoming quite frustrated by the Internet and conspiracy theories regarding this whole tragedy. Investigators told Fox that there's no truth to the story making the rounds that Nancy Benoit had left a note in a safety deposit box stating that if something happened to her, it was because of Chris. The report did confirm that there was a safety deposit box, and it did exist, but it contained, you know, typical documents and nothing personal, no personal writings or anything like that. I don't know where this story had come from, but I had seen it reported quite a bit over the last week.
Yeah, I've seen it pop up too, and, you know, this stuff is just running together. You know, again, I did not watch Larry King, and that was on purpose. I haven't watched in several days. I read the headlines on the websites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've become numb to this. I hate to say, you know, and maybe as a reporter that makes me a bad reporter. I'm sorry. It's just, you know, the situation with knowing the people as well as I did and everything. It's, you know, I don't want to. Let's let it, you know, be done.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I realize once the toxicology reports come out, then we'll have something else to discuss, you know.
Right.
And I realize, you know, even, I mean, now it's in the, and the crazy thing is how many weeks has it been now? Two?
Two.
Okay. And the media is still firing up.
Yes.
Right? I mean, they're doing.
There are no signs of slowing down either.
No.
Usually something makes the news for 3 days and then they forget about it. But this has just been being hammered and hammered and hammered, and I'm with you. I didn't watch Larry King. I did read sort of, you know, a brief recap of what went on, but
right.
Fox News, I don't turn that on anymore at all. CNN and those, I just stopped watching the stories. I really did.
Right.
I saw, I think, Steve Blackman and Mark Merrill having an argument a few days ago over the air. And I just turned my attention away.
Well, you know, I think this, I did read the recap of Mero and Steve's dialogue. I do not know Mark at all. I do know Steve. Steve spent time here with me when I was running the developmental. And I had a good relationship with him. Now, in terms of, I do agree with Mark that if you are in a position to make a difference, you should. You know, I'm not throwing down on Vince McMahon, the WWE, the wrestling business. Is the wrestling business a fault? Not really. When I say that, we all make sacrifices, and those guidelines are pretty much within ourselves, realistically, to accomplish what we set out to accomplish. And to, again, for better or for worse, I think to reach these levels, and especially in modern times, then people do what they think they have to do to stay up with the Joneses, athletically, as it were.
Right.
You know? Or why do the actresses do Botox, you know, and plastic surgery?
Mm-hmm.
For the same reason, right? Probably to the point of it's not good for you, you know.
And people have died from that.
Oh, sure. But I'm just saying, but why do they do that? I've heard bodybuilders, you know, being kamikazes, to the point where they'd, you know, somebody say, well, if we give you a drug that would guarantee you to be Mr. Olympia, you know, and have the greatest physique of all time, but it was going to kill you, would you still take it? And I guess there's people that said yes.
Right.
You know? Now, did I have aspirations of looking like Superman when I was a little kid? Well, of course I did. You know, am I willing to take a drug that's going to make me look like that if it kills me? I am not.
Right.
You know? I mean, but you know, there are people that are that extreme, you know?
Yeah. But you were jacked, man. I saw them pictures last night.
I was
going
jacked.
On
but
you
see, I was. But put me next to a guy who's been, and it's obvious, you know, it is. It's. But you know, here's the thing. Like HGH, human growth hormone, and I'm not sure what it doesn't lay it out in words. But in the sports section of our paper, every few weeks, and there's a. An article about rejuvenation and, you know, fighting off aging. And there's a doctor's picture there who's in great shape, and I think he's in his, I think, 50s or, you know, something. I've scanned the article, but I didn't cut it out and paste it on my wall or anything.
Right.
you know, and would I like to be in that good of shape again? Hell yeah, but it's just, you know, but again, what are you willing to pay to do that? Well, I'm not willing to pay much,
right.
You know, except I try to diet decently, you know, but anyway, yeah, that, so guys are going to do what they're going to do,
right.
You know, and, push the envelope. And I don't know how, that's a mindset. That's now, is it injurious? Yes. I think if you recall when Ted DiBiase was on the show with us, and I said, we're talking about reading his book, and I said, after I read it, it was kind of been there, done that, you know. You know, but then you look back at behind you and see that other people have sacrificed in their own way that you, so that you accomplish what you set out to do.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a price to pay, you know. And I'd be remiss if I try to say I didn't look back and think about things like that, you know, because I do.
Right.
You know, and but see, there again, well, you know, everybody is affected by these things in so many different ways, you know, and I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist, so I can't honestly tell you, you know, in detail or make it, you know, so you know, someone could understand what I was trying to. But I, you know, there's so many parts that make people up, and how people can deal with something you don't know till they've tried it.
Right.
You know. So this is the worst thing that's ever happened. Now, gosh, I guess, you know, dubious distinction at best, but yes, probably, or at least to my knowledge. And if it makes a bit of a change, I'm cool with that. You know,
yeah.
I am. I mean, listen, you know, I can't think of a guy. I don't detest or hate anybody on the big rosters. I don't even think I have a dislike for anybody. But there's guys there I don't know that, but I don't want to see them die tomorrow.
Right.
You know, or kill them, or mentally injure themselves either.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I want to say, you know, I think the neat thing is, hey, if you can accomplish what you set out to do, retire healthy and comfortable, you don't have to live like a king, just be comfortable and can enjoy your life at that point forward, man, you've got it made.
Right.
You know, I'm all for that. I really am. And it's just, and I think, you know, again, if this is all just hype to get ratings and buy and sell newspapers or magazines, and he's on the cover of a couple of the gossip, sheets.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean wrestling. I'm talking about, you know,
the Inquirer.
Mainline, yeah. And on the front cover of the current People magazine, too. And I don't mean the up in the corner little stamp size, but I mean he is the cover. And, you know, let me say, two of those, that People magazine is my wife subscribes to,
mm-hmm.
and you know what? I have not opened it.
I don't blame you.
So and when I say that, I probably will at some point, but I'm just, enough's enough.
Right.
You know, enough's enough.
And that's a good segue into the wrestling news portion of the show.
There is a wrestling news portion.
There is a wrestling news portion.
Then there is a God.
Yes. PW Insider's reporting that Rob Van Dam is not under a no-compete agreement, with WWE. His deal officially expired on July 1st after deciding not to renew it. Now, this process is different than when WWE usually releases talent. They give them 90 days pay in exchange for not appearing on national TV or any other wrestling company. RVD, in this case, is free to wrestle anywhere he wishes right now, but he has said numerous times in interviews that he has no plans to get involved in wrestling right now. He's going to enjoy his hiatus, and if he wants to come back in the future, he feels like it, he will.
Well, you know what? I think what you're saying here is you get the 90-day deal is if you're let go.
Yes.
Yeah, or I guess if you ask for your release under better-than-perfect, better-than-cordial terms, I think just when your contract runs out, your contract runs out. So I don't think there is anything the other side of that.
Right.
That they have any control whatsoever or can dictate anything, So I think there's your deal right there.
Yeah. Other WWE news, PW Insider is reporting that Teddy Hart has signed to a developmental deal and that he's already reported to Florida Championship Wrestling.
Well, you know what? Let's hope that young Teddy has gotten old enough to be matured, realize where he's at, what he's doing, because, yeah, he's a talented kid. But he gets himself in more hot water. He was with WWE at one point. I'm not sure if he actually had a contract, but I know he was had been training with them and was released or axed or sent home or whatever. His high-profile problems with TNA, Ring of Honor,
here and there.
But he's a talent. It's like a bolt of lightning. If you can harness it, you can use it to benefit mankind. And if you can't, it could destroy it. So,
right.
And he's at that point.
They've got, the whole group of, Stampede guys down there right now. They got Natty Neidhart, Harry Smith, T.J. Wilson, they're all in Florida now together.
Yeah,
so,
that's cool. And you know what? Maybe that'll keep Teddy a little more sane, as it were, too.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully. We'll see. According to Midway Games, for all you big gamers out there, TNA's first video game, TNA Impact, is scheduled for a spring 2008 release. It's going to be available on the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, the Nintendo Wii, and PlayStation 2 for people like me who can't afford a PlayStation 3 yet.
I don't have 1, 2, or 3. I know that probably may.
When video games really got big, like in the early 80s and Atari had come out, didn't you at least, try this new fad?
Some people's where the kids had games, Breakout or Pong or something like that. But some of those, there's a few of those games that I played, but I just was never that. I don't know,
I remember Pong was big with my parents. They sat there and they played Pong for a long time, and I just thought it was weird to see grown adults playing video games. But now I'm a grown adult and I play them. So
are you a grown adult?
Kind of.
Well, that's up for speculation, but nonetheless,
I'm a grown up now.
Okay.
TNA Wrestling has announced that they're going to be debuting a new look for its official website. That's going to come out in late August, early September, and hopefully it won't be those automatic play videos that they have on the website now, because I hate that. You have your speakers up, there's no sound, but you go to TNA and all of a sudden, boom, boom, fireworks go off and Jeremy Borash is yelling at you about the next pay-per-view. I hated that part.
Okay.
It's actually kept me away from the website a little bit, so I hope they take that off. That's just, a personal comment there.
I have yet to watch one of those things, so I couldn't tell you. I now watch Willie Mays throw baseballs out and riding in the back of a big Eldorado convertible, an older one, vintage. But, yeah, so anyways, start of the All-Star game. That's the point.
Excellent.
Got the audio turned off, but the screen is working. Go ahead.
More TNA news. Their website is now reporting that the Road to Victory Road special this Saturday is going to feature a special match with Petey Williams versus Jerry Lynn versus Cinchy. Also, there's going to be a big...
Could they just have a match with A versus B? Would that work?
No, they can't.
Could we please do that? Hey, it's called professional wrestling.
It actually gets bigger than that. There's going to be a big eight-man tag team match.
Oh, thank God.
It's Samoa Joe, Kurt Angle, and Team 3D on the same team. And that's going to be Saturday on Spike TV, guys.
Against who?
They haven't said yet. It's just going to be them because the main event of the pay-per-view is going to be Joe and Angle versus Team 3D. So at this
right, so we're doing the same thing that Vince they were doing over WWE, right?
The WWE blueprint, yes. Also on TNA this Thursday, Abyss will speak.
Okay. Well, yes. I hate to say this, but I've heard him talk. So
it's not that great. No, but
well, no, the guys. I don't know what he's going to talk like, but if he's allowed, yes, he's a good promo.
In just a few minutes, Les, we're going to play the pay-per-view prediction game. Because
maybe he's just going to utter something like, ugh. I don't know.
Who knows? I don't know. We'll have to see. But, yeah, TNA.
Maybe
TNA's...
he's going to admit the fact that he didn't really kill his father, or his mother didn't kill his father either.
We'll have to see. TNA's Victory Road is going to be this Sunday. We're going to play the pay-per-view prediction game in just a little bit. More TNA news, though, right now. Scott Steiner is reportedly doing well. He's recovering from throat surgery, and he could return as soon as Monday for the TNA tapings, the Impact tapings. He's expected to make a full recovery, and it's expected that he and Rick are going to resume their feud with Team 3D unless they change plans between now and then.
Right. I'll tell you what. And this is Scott Steiner is going to do. I bet you what Scott Steiner wants to do. But that particular surgery and everything, I don't think I would take any chances whatsoever. Maybe they've said this is it. You're 110% cured. I don't know. You know, but that's just something I wouldn't mess with.
Could be.
Because, you know, it's what happened there was an accident. Obviously, it wasn't on purpose. And,
right.
And, you know, you just never know. So you want to be sure. That's with you know.
Definitely with something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, with a throat and everything, sure.
Now, I had spoken to you last week, Les, and we said we were going to talk about this tonight because we had been planning, and nobody really knew this. I guess maybe a couple people outside of, the Wrestling Weekly guys knew that we had a cartoon in the works, Les. It was a Doc and Les cartoon.
Yes, it was, and Doc was the mastermind behind us, the whole plot. He gets all the credit if it were great, and he gets all the blame.
That's right.
he scripted it and the whole nine, but we're not going to show it.
No, and this is the reason why really is because of this whole Benoit thing. It goes back to maybe last year we wrote the script for this cartoon, and I had called up Les, and I said, Les, I want to do this 15-minute cartoon, and it's about wrestling. And in this cartoon, you and I, it would be me having a dream, and you and I in the dream would be wrestling police. And it was basically supposed to be a silly story. With sort of a moral at the end, basically about steroids.
I'm glad you detailed who we were in this dream so that they didn't get any wrong.
Yes,
idea.
So they didn't get the wrong idea.
Exactly, but you're dreaming about me.
It was sort of a takeoff of cop buddy movies and things like
right.
that. Les and I were supposed to be the cops, and we were supposed to stop this guy from purchasing steroids. It's a whole long story, and. A lot of things happen at the end that are kind of mirroring things that are happening right now, and it's not really in good taste to put this out. And we didn't actually even completely finish it. All the animation was done, But all the voices weren't done yet. And we had Brian Alvarez was going to play the steroid dealer in that.
Yes.
We were talking with R.D. Reynolds from WrestleCraft to do a voice, too.
And but so we aren't, obviously, and the, we're not even going to tell you what the ending to this thing was, but
no.
it too closely parallels real life, only it was done in jest, and it was roughed in the script, and the whole thing was roughed in almost a year ago. So anyway, the point is, the problem is, if it were to air, there would be people saying, well, we are doing a cartoon playing off of something that's real and tragic, and I personally don't want to be a part of that. Believe it or not, Doc doesn't either. So
right. We may put pictures up, I think, on the website at some point of just what you could see what the animation looked like and see what a cartoon Doc and Les would look like. We may do that for you guys. But as far as the whole thing and, this, like I said, this thing had been planned. I think we started this in last July, I believe it was when we wrote the script for this. So, I'm a little disappointed about it, but, life goes on. Things go on.
Yeah, very good. Yes,
we will. We may do a different sort of a cartoon in the future. We'll have to see.
We are a cartoon.
We are.
We are a living, breathing, walking, talking cartoon.
Absolutely. Right now, guys, let's play the pay-per-view prediction game, Les. Let's do that.
If we must, we must.
Victory Road is coming up this Sunday on pay-per-view, guys. It's a TNA pay-per-view.
Yeah, you know what? I shouldn't say I am a wrestling fan, but I'm also part of the industry in more ways than one. But is it just me, or are there just too many pay-per-views?
It's not just you.
No.
I said this 2 years ago, I believe, on the show when we first started, that there's too many pay-per-views. They never scaled down after the Monday Night Wars. There used to be 5 pay-per-views a year. And then it got to be 7, then 9, then 12. And then everybody started doing 12. And then when the Monday Night Wars were over, WCW went out of business and WWE owned everything. They never said, hey, let's go back to the 5 pay-per-views. You know, let's just get a little bit each month, and at the end of the year, I believe it adds up to more than just doing 5 pay-per-views, which is why I think they do it.
Yeah.
But it's not good for storylines, and
But it almost seems like we almost play the prediction game every week.
Almost,
right?
Yes.
Right.
3 weeks out of the month, we usually end up playing this game.
Right.
So let's get into it, though. Eric Young and Gail Kim are going to be first off. They're going to be taking on...
They're wrestling one another. I was going to pick Gail. Go ahead.
They're going to be wrestling against Robert Roode and Ms. Tracy Brooks of TNA.
Well, I would think you probably put the faces over here, which I would assume would be Eric and Gail.
I think this feud has been going on for quite a while.
Well, she could beat Tracy, and it doesn't hurt Roode. You know,
yeah.
Again, my, with Eric, I wouldn't have a problem with Eric winning, but in bumbling ways, you know,
right.
Not just winning. So, I mean, because of the character, which is not to say he's not a good worker. It's just doofuses aren't strong competitive athletes. Anyway,
his character is reminiscent of a cartoon Doc Young.
That's
what you're saying. I'm going to go with you.
Okay, whatever. Anyway,
I'm going to go with you on that one, too. Eric Young and Gail. Next up, it's Rhino versus Cowboy James Storm.
Oh, Lord. Lord, Lord, Lord. They'll probably put Storm over. I'll say Storm. I don't necessarily say, you know, could be a count out or something. I don't know if it'd be a pin or a submission or something creative like a beer bottle to the head.
Right.
And the referee will never know this.
Something new that we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with you on that one too. I'm going to go with James Storm. I haven't seen Rhino do much of lately, and I don't think he's.
I think that that match that he was in with Christian and Angle a few weeks ago. That was the whole show, I thought, was a hell of a match, honestly.
Yeah, he's had great matches, but...
Best matches. But, well, you know, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say he had great matches, but it doesn't really seem like they're giving him a push, is what I meant.
Well, you know what? See, none of the characters, I don't think, have been built really strong. You know, I mean, that have legs that are just carrying the company. I mean, I think they mishandled Angle and Joe, and to tell you, I've got the master plan. I don't, mm-hmm. but I just, you know, they're over, but they're not over
right.
as much as they should be, I don't think.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, there's too much, I don't know. Well, you know, I was watching last week, Joe and Angle have a pull apart again. It's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only the 50th one,
mm-hmm.
you know, so there it's pretty exciting. Only, you know,
and you would think...
I mean, if you're a regular, then you, it becomes like elevator music at some point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, it's like if your next door neighbors fight once a year, you know, it affects you far more than if they fight every day.
Right.
Right. At some points, yeah, that's the Joneses next door. They yell like that all the time. Who cares?
Right.
You know, I don't even hear it anymore.
And I can see where, you know, WWE at some times throw it into cruise control. They've got so much going on. They've got so many shows. And I've been to indie shows where, you know, time is running out. You've got to start the show. You've got an angle that really doesn't make sense, but you throw it out there anyway because you don't have a lot of time. TNA, though, it seems to me like they would have more time to work on their storytelling a little bit.
Well, man, I think, you know, if there's any credence to the rumors that they might get on Fox, not Fox affiliate, before we start that, spend an hour and a half on that.
No, I'm just kidding.
But
go ahead.
But nothing. Anyway, you know, if they were to get on, they've got to tighten it up, you know, because, again, to get more exposure is great if that means you're going to sell more pay-per-views. If you're not going to sell more pay-per-views, then it don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely. Let's move on. Christian Cage is going to be taking on Chris Harris.
On Kudu?
Chris Harrison versus Christian Cage.
Oh, okay.
On the pay-per-view, my friend.
On the pay-per-view, my friend.
On
but
the
what else were we talking about?
Oh, I just let you... say your thing, and I don't have any comment on that, really.
I didn't think you did.
No, I mean...
I think, you know what, I would think this would be a good spot to give Chris Harris's little, you know, a little shove singles. I don't know if they will that, or I think I'm almost got to take Cage on this one.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go with that on that, too. I completely agree with you on that. I think this would be a good match. And I think it is going to be a good match as far as the pay-per-view as a whole. I think it's going to be one of the best
matches.
I'll
tell you something else I do with Chris Harris in the singles push. I get rid of that robe with skulls and flames and stuff. It's just, I don't know. I think something a little sleeker and a little more athletic looking on him would work better.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. That's just my little.
But yes, I think it would be great if they would use this, you know, as a starting point for a push for Harris. But I'm a pessimist when it comes to booking and storylines, and I don't think they're going to do that. I think Christian's just going to.
Well, I'm not a pessimist when it comes to booking storylines. Actually, you could book something and beat Christian without making him look bad here.
No, I mean I'm a pessimist that they're going to do the right thing.
Okay.
So, So I'm going to go with Cage on this one. Next up is a tag team match. It's Sting and Abyss. They're going to be taking on AJ Styles and Tomko.
Uh-huh. Well, do you want me to look at my crystal ball and see who's going to win this?
Oh, soothsayer, who will be who will prevail in this match?
I don't think you can't be serious. You're not actually asking me to make. I mean, Ray Charles could have picked this one.
You know, just for that, I'm going to go with Styles and Tomko.
Go ahead.
just to be different.
With Abyss speaking this week going into the pay per view, are you ribbing me?
Yeah, I'm ribbing you. I'm going to go with Sting and Abyss. Next up is Angle. And Samoa Joe, they're going to be taking on Team 3D. This is the main event. Four champions in this match.
Well, you know what? I what I see here, I wish I didn't, but I do. What would be the silly scenario would be that Angle and Joe were forced to be tag team champions together, which would create this "I hate you, want to beat your butt, but I've got to be your partner" in tag matches.
Mm-hmm.
There's enough friction with these guys. I mean, there's too much friction. I don't know. It's not productive, is my point.
Right.
You know? I mean, I think we know that they grate on one another's nerves. I think we know that, or at least that's for today. Tomorrow, maybe not. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, stop and think about it. Were they not walking into the pay-per-views together a couple months ago?
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, simply because they're competitors, or you know, and both wanting the same thing, that all of a sudden they, like, you know, even Mayweather and Del La Hoya didn't start throwing punches at the weigh-in, for God's sake.
Right.
You know, no, this, I mean, you know.
But this is wrestling.
Here's the deal with me. Angle, heel, babyface, I really don't care. But he's an Olympic champion, which makes me, he's going to be an arrogant heel if he's going to be a heel, not a, with a little dignity. If he's a baby face, he's going to have a little. But the point is, the medal and what he represents and what he should represent,
mm-hmm.
Shouldn't be this insane egomaniac that, you know, it just, I don't know. And again, at some point, if they have another pull apart, I really don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know on this one. You can't. You certainly can't make 3D the X division and the now. How does, wait a minute? Is you pin if you pin the guy, then you win the title there that he is wearing.
That's right? What I assume it is. Like if D-Von pins Joe.
But now see, they've got that whoever. Now if Joe pins D-Von, then he gets both tag belts and can pick apart.
I believe so.
Yes, yes. So the other thing is not valid here, and I can't think of any. Well, I just said sane reason that Joe would pick Angle or Angle pick Joe, and then I used the word sane. And I thought, well, we're not talking about sane things here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is crazy. I don't like the concept. I don't know here. I don't see either one of 3D guys being an X division champion,
mm-hmm.
or I don't see them. If they just start bouncing this world title back and forth, then they've weakened it already.
Right.
Lord, here I don't know. Maybe Joe pins one of the 3D and comes up with the tag belts. I don't know, man. It's a tough one. But mm-hmm. I think the team of Angle and Joe have to win.
All right, I'm going to go with Team 3D on this one.
Okay.
I'm also going to go back to make this a little interesting, and I'm going to go with Robert Roode over Eric Young in the first match.
Okay, somebody's feeding you this over the internet, right?
No.
Ah, come on.
No. Nope. Oh,
okay. But no, okay, that's.
I'm just
cool.
Looking, and we're kind of even on everything.
I just can't see 3D being the X division, you know.
Yeah.
And it's easier for Joe to take the tag belts and pick a partner, and then he can even feud with 3D, right?
Yeah.
Angle, on the other hand, that's the other thing too. It creates silly confusion either way, right? If one of the 3D guys win and become either the heavyweight champion or the X division champion, or the fact that Angle or Joe wins, they become the tag team champion. It's mm-hmm. still one person with two titles.
All right.
And it's...
it's weird.
Yeah.
And I believe, like, and this is just sort of a rule I follow. If you need a graphic on the screen to tell you the rules... it's not going to be interesting to a casual fan.
Well, like I say, it dilutes anything they do past this.
It does in any situation, I think, unless it turns
yeah,
into.
Yeah, it puts Joe in a tag team situation with 3D and takes any juice off him as a, you know, a heavyweight singles contender. Angle, I don't think needs this at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the tag team division needs to stand alone.
The only way I can see this ending is in a DQ, and if they end a main event on a pay-per-view in a DQ, people are going to really be mad.
Yeah, the people won't be excited about that, I don't think.
No, but catch it anyway, because you'd never know what's going to happen.
But like I say, I'm thinking of all the possibilities, the thing with Joe and his tag team partner, I just can't see Bubba swinging from that cable in the X division. I don't know
right.
how. That's not a pretty picture.
Mm-hmm.
Or Devon, for that matter, because, of, you know, he's not a midget either.
Right.
You know, he's in much better shape, but he's mm-hmm. still, you know.
Check it out, guys. It's going to be interesting. TNA's Victory Road pay-per-view. It's this
Sunday. Anyway, I don't know how interesting it's going to be, this particular match.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
I don't see, I don't see benefit for anybody out of this. And if they throw it, if they do a DQ, that's not good either. So anyway, I'll go with Joe.
Okay.
The pin.
All right, guys.
For what reason, I have no earthly idea.
Just because. Guys, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to do Hot Topic. We've got Kevin Kelly on deck. He's going to be with us on the show tonight. Also,
before we take a break, let me plug real quick my dates.
All righty.
I'm in Charlotte August 10th and 11th at the NWA Legends Convention. I'm in the South Atlantic Wrestling booth, and I'll be there to greet fans, take pictures, sign autographs, and just talk wrestling in general.
Excellent.
It's going to be a good weekend, I think. I'm looking forward to it. And
you get more information on that at lesthatcher.com.
You get more, SouthAtlanticWrestling.com, NWALegends.com. You get information for all sorts of things, man.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, and I'm in Detroit August 25th for Rage Dojo again, American Kickboxer. And if you want to sign up there, get more information, it's an all-day clinic starting at 11 a.m. And we'll be in-ring, and you can it's amkickboxer@hotmail.com if you want to check that out. And I think we're going to be in Denver in September. And I don't know what else. But anyway,
Rocky Mountains.
I wanted to throw that in before we moved on.
All right. We're going to take a break, guys. Kevin Kelly when we come back. You're listening to Les Thatcher and Doc Young. It's Wrestling Weekly. We'll be back.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly Radio. We suck just a little bit less than everybody else.
You are absolutely right. You do suck.
Wrestling-radio.com for the latest news in professional wrestling, watching of videos, and promoting your own independent wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. Log on to wrestling-radio.com. Sign up today and get weekly archiving of your shows. Advertise your show on the main website. And also listen to other great wrestling radio shows such as The Squared Circle, The Minority Report, Evan's Legends, and many more. And you could be the next one. Log on today at wrestling-radio.com and begin promoting your wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. We promise you, you won't be disappointed. Wrestling-radio.com, the Internet's leader in wrestling radio promotion.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
MadManiacs.com.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now for a hot topic, he's a former WWE announcer. Kevin Kelly is with us. Kevin, this is your first time doing Hot Topic with us. Welcome to the this segment of the show.
I'm glad to be here, and of course, meteorologically speaking, here in eastern Pennsylvania, it was 96 degrees today, so no better time to do Hot Topic than tonight.
That's right, because it is hot.
Man, I thought it was hot here in Cincinnati, but you got us beat, brother.
Brother, oh yeah, it was bad today, B-A-D. But it'll be much better tomorrow and better by the weekend.
We got rain coming in all week, Les.
Well, we got rain for 2 or 3 days, but it's going to cool things off. And God knows, I don't know about you over at your place, but I need the rain. My hay field, or I mean my yard, needs some nourishment, brother.
Yeah, it's been pretty dry this summer so far. Guys, what I'm going to do for Hot Topic is I wanted to get your thoughts on this blog. I read this blog last night. It was written by a good friend of mine. His name's Josh Abercrombie. He, of course, some of you guys might remember him from Wrestling Society X. He was one of the Trailer Park Boys, and he's also with IWA Mid-South at the moment. This is basically from last week, so I'm going to read this for you. I want to get your thoughts on this. It says, "For our country's birthday, we Americans love to watch chemical powders mixed together with some Chinese lab burn in the sky. The grand finale that goes along with fireworks is often explained to young wrestlers who have trouble with psychology and high spots. The grand finale is something that you have been building up to this whole time. Boom, pause, boom, pause, boom, 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 kaboom, silence. All of those oohs and ahs you were hearing every 10 seconds or so ago during the majority of the fireworks became a much more important, much more appreciated cheering, applause, and whistles." He goes on to say, "Anyhow, I used to hate fireworks. Really loved them growing up, things like that. But my girlfriend and I have seen our share of fireworks since being together. We didn't realize their true greatness until we seen that story of the Decatur, Michigan fireworks of 2007 told. I can't really describe exactly how it's possible, but it was so much like a wrestling match. Even my wrestling-hating girlfriend knew that what I was talking about. We bought the false finishes and everything. Fireworks shouldn't be a couple periodic alluring explosions until a bulk of alluring explosions. It should be a story that means something." Kevin, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, that's very well said. It's something I had never thought of before. But thinking about a fireworks display and seeing good ones and bad ones over the years, you're right. It very much can be like a match, and when it's choreographed beautifully with music and put together nicely, I mean, it can tell a story. But what fireworks do is they get you emotionally connected, and that's what to me always what a great wrestling match can do is get you emotionally connected with what's going on. So that's very well said.
Yeah, I don't know that I can add anything to that. I mean, Josh, yeah, it was a great analogy and a parallel, and Kevin is pretty much, he's right. I mean, it's there's not much controversy here, Doc.
It just seems
yeah.
to...
It, you know, Les, it's one thing, too. And another thing that makes fireworks display special, you don't see them every day.
Yes.
Yes. There you go.
Absolutely.
There is something to add to
you
that.
You know, we were just saying, Kevin, something along the same lines, as they mentioned, Jerry Lynn and... Who was the guy, second guy they named, you named, Doc?
Let me look again.
Okay, well, anyway, Jerry Lynn and somebody.
Senshi.
That's a pay-per-view, and then Senshi. And I said, do they know how to put two people together and actually have a match? I'm so bored with, you know, I brought up a couple weeks ago. I remember the first three-way dance in ECW was Funk and Sabu and Douglas. And it was a talk, you know, everybody's talking about it. It was a big deal. But now it's like, and featuring 16, 40 guy, you know, extravaganzas and
right.
stuff.
But they are. It was Petey Williams, by the way,
okay.
Who was the third man. But they're also having at the pay-per-view, and we didn't go over this, like some huge X Division, you know, cluster.
Well, of course they are.
Yeah.
They always do.
And they do every...
Now let Kevin answer my question.
Okay.
I learned so much from seeing you guys, you know, operate and having one side of the coin where you have a lot of young guys that you want to get in-ring experience. So you put a lot of people on a show. You'll put together multiple man tags, elimination matches, things like that, but it's one way to get people seasoned and ring time. The other side of the coin is, if you would like to run a promotion and actually try to make money, why book 1,000 guys, 12 to 14, 16-man cards, and you can make money. You can tell good stories and have good singles matches and build it up with a tag and a semi-main and have a title match in your main event. You don't need multiple-man extravaganzas, but that's always been one of the problems that Les and I have seen eye to eye on in the wrestling business today is that the feeling that more has to be more. If we need something, we'll add people to it. If we need something, we'll add tables and ladders and, you know, all this other stuff to it. When it gets away from simple, basic storytelling and, you know, Briscoe and Funk didn't need any more than Briscoe and Funk in the world title, and that was it.
You know, and I think this Vengeance, was it, that where everything was a title match?
Yes.
Yep.
And no one seemed to find it special because those titles are defended at a drop of a hat. Right? Cena can be walking through the lobby, and Vince decides that he scratched his ass the wrong way and makes a title match for that night on the show, right?
I was trying to think of something special. I was watching Raw last night. I was trying to think of like a way to categorize Cena in his matchup with Bobby Lashley. And they did the little serious Q&A where they said, well, okay, how do you think you're going to defeat Bobby Lashley? And an answer that I thought of for Cena was something to the effect of that, you know, Cena may appear to be vulnerable, but there's nobody better on Sundays than John Cena. Meaning there's nobody better when the title's on the line on a pay-per-view. And then I was like, well, that really wouldn't work because they defend the title on Monday, and then they'll send him to SmackDown on Friday, and, you know, and Saturday night's main event, the title's on the line, and on and on and on. That's one of the reasons why when they said his title reign was as long as anyone since Savage, I guess it was, Savage has seemed a lot more cool because you didn't see him defend the title all the time.
Right.
When you did get to see him, it was special. And when he did finally lose it, it was special. Now it's like, I can't remember all the guys that John Cena has gone through and defeated, stretching the bounds of credibility even further, because no man is that great to defeat everybody. Somebody has to have their own Achilles heel and their own person that they can lose to.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's the build-up or the lack thereof. When we had Kevin Sullivan on a few weeks ago, that was one of the things that he and I discussed. You know, he was talking about when he changed from the clean-cut babyface to the satanic, you know, cult leader. It was gradual over a period of months. You know, he went. I mean, the hair started getting to disarray, and he said even he was a little burnt cork under, you know, around his eyes, that, you know, to make him look a little like he hadn't been sleeping, whatever. But it's just all of a sudden, hey, Les, Doc, and Kevin, you guys are in a number one contenders match tonight. What do you mean? None of us haven't won a match in a month.
Yeah, right.
You know, but yeah, but it's number one contenders. You know,
yeah, now
I mean,
somebody wins a match and becomes the number one contender, and then they wonder why nobody cares about the match.
Exactly.
Right. And the one thing about Kevin Sullivan, I was watching some of this on YouTube the other day, and one of the things I had forgotten about, the subtlety of that and how it did gradually progress over time, was that Gordon Solie got it over as being genuinely concerned for Kevin Sullivan's mental well-being.
Right.
He was really the only one who was like, you know, this is sad. You know, Kevin Sullivan, this great athlete, this tremendous power of the Boston Battler, and now we're witnessing him unravel right before our eyes. And ladies and gentlemen, I just don't know how to explain it, but I just want to present him to you so that you can see what we're all seeing. And yet Kevin would get up there and rattle on and walk away and be crazy. And eventually where he wound up with was this incredibly dark turn. But you couldn't do something like that overnight. Otherwise, everybody would have gone, ah.
And see, and that's the thing, too. What drives me nuts is they're in such a rush. And my point, okay, you've got such and such on the front burner. What's wrong with putting a couple in the... Why are you rushing everything?
Yep.
You know? And then the other part is, okay, we're bringing Kevin Kelly up. He's got 15 minutes of experience in developmental. Okay. Okay, wait a minute. He's been out there 30 seconds. He hasn't connected with the crowd. Changed the gimmick. Next week, he's back. He's still Kevin Kelly, but now, instead of being a mad scientist, he's Tweety the Wonderbird. But I mean, the point is, he's still Kevin Kelly,
right?
And the transition has taken about 30 seconds, and it doesn't get over either, and nobody can figure that one out.
No, and you have, you know, again, Les, for the years of transitioning that you had made from the ring to the announce booth with some overlap in the middle, how would that have gone for a Les Thatcher in 2006, 2007? It probably would have been disastrous, and you would not have had as long of a broadcasting career as you had.
You're right.
Because they would have monkeyed around with you and done all these different things to you so that when you eventually did get behind the microphone, you had zero credibility.
Exactly. Well, you know, and that's the crazy thing, too, is when I started doing, they didn't, you know, it was just color at the time. I don't know if it was even called that. But the point, I thought, well, okay, I am an athlete, and I'm doing this still. And so, first of all, I can't wet myself the first time a guy grabs a hammerlock, right? Because to me, that's, you know, like Joe Theismann, you know, getting orgasmic over some quarterback throwing a little flare out for to pass for a 3-yard gain or something. You
right.
Know? Makes no sense. But you're right. You know, you're right. Well, first of all, the other thing, we were allowed to develop as characters ourselves, sink or swim, and now if somebody's overproducing you in your ear.
Right.
Putting words in your mouth that maybe don't fit your mouth.
I know you guys have spent a lot of time talking about it, but I was reading something that Jack Briscoe was quoted as saying, where talking about the differences, and this is one thing I did want to bring up on the segment tonight. I was hoping we were going to talk a little bit about it. You know, Jack talked about the product of today and him not being too particularly fond of it, and the difference in generations, Les. When you guys get together for Cauliflower Alley Club, pretty well represented from a lot of guys from your generation.
Yes.
And it's going to be troublesome in a few years. You know, Briscoe said Vince is going to make a call for an old-timer, and there won't be anybody there to answer the phone.
Right.
Which is a really great way of saying it. And now I read something today to where Congress wants to investigate the WWE and wants to take a look at steroid use and drug use amongst the wrestlers.
Right.
I would hope that Congress would have better things to do, like sealing up our borders or making sure that our children are educated before we start hauling entertainers in before Congress to say, well, what about this? What about that? And if they do, I certainly hope that they bring every rock and roll band, every movie star, and every television performer in before Congress as well, to ask them about drug use, to ask them about illegal activities. You know, in this country where they lust over stories involving Lindsay Lohan being coked up, crashing a car, and that's front page tabloid news, you know, we have tragedy every day, of course, all around us. And, you know, the tragedy that we're all still dealing with now, I'm not making light of that at all. But the issue was not, the issue is personal choice here, and the issue is accountability.
Mm-hmm.
The issue doesn't have anything to do with government intervention and, you know, people telling us what to do and how to live our lives. Illegal activity is illegal activity, and it should be policed as such. It's an issue for the state to take up with. It's an issue for the local municipalities to do it. Who issues these doctors, these licenses, these marked doctors? Who polices them?
Right.
And, you know, I mean, it's like being able to hand out pistols to infants, and then you wonder why, you know, kids are getting shot with guns. You know, Vince had a famous saying, and I always live by it, you have to protect the talent from themselves. And no disrespect less to you or anybody who spent a lot of time in the ring, you know, without having to go too deeply into it. Some of the guys, they need instruction. They need policing. They
no,
need,
you're right. You're absolutely
know what I mean?
Right. You know what I said, professional athletes, and I'm generalizing here, obviously, are a bunch of big kids.
Yeah.
You know, to a certain and to a certain degree, this is true. And I'll be the first to admit, if I had a conservative side, it was. I was more dedicated to trying to be good. I mean, I partied, but it was never the priority. Anyway, I know exactly where you're coming from, Kevin.
Yeah, and I wanted to make that point, you know, because again, we probably would have talked about it if I was here on the show last week, like I should have been. And again, I just wanted to kind of get that out there, and especially now I'm reading about, you know, the government wanting to get involved, and I was just like, please give me a break, you know. They need to do the WWE needs to do a better job of policing. The wrestling industry needs to do a better job of policing itself. The boys need to do a better job of policing themselves. But it all comes down to personal choice and personal accountability.
Do you feel the same way when Congress got involved with other sports like baseball?
Well, it was hypocritical because the first thing that they need to do is to look at baseball's antitrust exemption.
Mm-hmm.
And if they really wanted to do something to baseball, that would be the first thing they would do. You know, the owners get great benefit from that. And the owners and the players' union both knew that steroids were going on in the 90s. They could not turn a blind eye to it, yet they negotiated a collective bargaining agreement where the players said, you can't make us name names, and if Congress ever was called into us, you can make us testify. And if you do drug test us, they have to be anonymous. Well, of course, they were leaked out, grand jury notwithstanding, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, if they want to look at one facet of it, they have to look at all of it. If you want to look at one sport, you have to look at all the sports. If you want to look at professional sports, if you want to look at entertainment, if you want to look at college athletics, if you want to look at big business, if they want to haul every CEO, you know, down in front of a board in Congress and say, let's talk about your exorbitant bonuses, let's talk about all the things that you're getting, your perks, blah, 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 blah. Now we got something here. You can't just do one and not everybody else.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I wanted to ask you guys a question before we wrap up Hot Topic, and this is sort of off topic, but it's kind of also a part of the bigger picture, and it's just something I was curious about. But, you know, it seems to me like the media has been calling anybody that had anything to do with wrestling in the last 20 years and trying to get them on, you know, TV to come either prove their point or defend their point. Have any of you guys gotten calls from anybody?
Yeah, I talked to a CNN producer. Well, actually, two Tuesdays ago, they had sent me an email, which I didn't get. I actually didn't see it until the next morning. And they had wanted me to go to a studio somewhere here and do something for, I forget what reporter's name it was. So I think it's called 360 or something like that. I'm not sure.
Anderson Cooper, I think.
Okay. But anyway, I called her on Wednesday once I got the message and apologized for not getting back to her. And we talked for a while, and she said, well, maybe we'll call you later. But, you know, I think they pretty much have got there's a list out there. Mero's been on, and I think he's been a good spokesman.
I've been impressed, by and large, with how the wrestling community has been represented, and how each of the guys has presented themselves. I had no problem with Deborah coming on and saying what she said about Steve. I had no problem with it. If she chooses to do that, to air her dirty laundry in public, then so be it. You know, Mero, Blackman, all did a great job. And I felt like a lot of the guys did a great job of standing up to the tabloid mentality of the media to immediately blame, to immediately say that steroids were, that this was a roid rage incident, that this was, you know, that the failed drug policy, the WWE, that somehow they were responsible. I did a talk show in England, and that was the first question. And I said, hold it. Let's start here. This is not cause and effect. You're never going to be able to draw one straight line from beginning to end. So don't try to let's derail this conversation right here and right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and let's not lose sight of the fact that three people are not with us anymore because of a strange set of circumstances that probably will never be able to be pieced together. You cannot say that one thing caused this.
Right.
Or one thing caused that, or if somebody wouldn't have done something, there would have been a different outcome. You know, and don't even go there with that. So it's been interesting. I've gotten a lot of requests from, you know, email, and I've kind of stayed away from it. I've tried not to comment too much, but the damn guys from England got me on the phone, and I'm like, all right, damn it. I thought I'd won a trip or something less, you know. Over across the pond, and all of a sudden I'm on some damn BBC talk show. I was like, geez.
You know, I'm so amazed at how many ways they try to say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I told Doc earlier, I said, I haven't watched anything in the last few days. I just simply, you know, I almost got the whole dialogue down by heart myself.
Yep.
You know, it's the same old thing. And I said, once doxology reports are made public, then we'll go again.
Right.
And then hopefully we'll learn something from it. You know, and I read something, too, that, there should be their employee wellness program should be put in place. Well, the boys are independent contractors.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? They don't get any employee benefits.
Right.
You know?
No.
And that's one thing that if the wrestling industry is to change, and it has to come from within, and it has to come from the talent. Now, Les, I know that back, you know, probably going back as far as the 40s, 50s, 60s, and before that, there has been talk of unionization or representation or some kind of collective bargaining. Hasn't there been with, you know,
oh, yeah,
talent?
Yeah.
And, you know, again, but it's something that never gets off the ground. And TNA can't, let's say the WWE decides to overhaul their wellness policy, and because a Mark doctor has a prescription pad that he can turn loose and write anybody anything that they want. You know, the boys all talk to one another. Hey, you want to get something, you get it from this guy.
Sure.
Again, no accountability, but we give a loaded gun here. Doctor, just pass them out like Pez dispenser candy. Here you go, boys, whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you made a point earlier, too, and I've said as much. There are doctors that if you're a movie star, they'll give you the ups and downs, whatever it is you need, just to say they're your buddy.
Yeah.
Jock
Sniffen Mark doctor, you know, there was two or three times when I was in the WWE, we ran across things where it's, hey, so-and-so, you know, Hebner would come and say, if such-and-such a doctor comes, he's not allowed backstage anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We don't want him associating with the boys, any of our talent, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'd be a memo that would come out. No one is allowed to see Dr. So-and-so for this, that, and the other reason. But they, you know, again, you have that personal choice, but if the talent ever gets together and decides that they want to police themselves, the WWE needs to do a better job of taking care of the athletes. And from where I sat, they always did a very good job. They helped out a lot of guys that they didn't have to help and got them assistance when they needed it.
Yeah.
Guys that were on the active roster and old-timers that were long since removed from the public eye. I mean, I've seen cash gifts being given out as thank yous to people who never even asked for help. But Vince heard that they were down on their luck, and the call was put out, and a donation was given right then and there. But, you know, TNA can't become a haven now for guys if the WWE decides to crank up their wellness policy and make it really strict like WCW was in the mid-90s. Everybody that was flunking drug tests in WWF went down to WCW.
Right.
And you know, so TNA has to, if again, do it for one, it has to be done for all. If Congress gets involved, they got to talk to, you know, all the police, to all of the wrestling companies and of the major organizations. But then, how's it going to be weeded out from the independents?
Right.
Well, there's not a lot of money in the independents, and guys really can't afford it. They don't get on the stuff until they get to be stars.
Yeah, yeah. That, and there's the problem too. The working environment is such that if you get a hold of something, horrible thing to say, but you almost die to hang on to it, right?
Yep. It's that psychologically addictive, because you see the physical differences and you know how good you feel when you're taking it. And that mind that drug is a powerful tool on your mind, whether it's steroids, whether it's painkillers, whether it's whatever. And again, that's why the medical community isn't quite sure all of what steroids can do. They're pretty clear on what painkillers can do and how the mind works and reacts. There aren't rehab facilities that are full of steroid users, you know, and there aren't high school kids dropping dead from steroids. It's that long period of use, 10, 15, 20 years of abuse and use.
You know, you make a point there, too, that I, you know, it's never mind the professional level, but, it can be a high school or a college coach says, hey, you know, if you just add another 30 pounds by the start of practice next year, you probably, you know, would blah, 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 you know, make
a team. You'll become a Division I athlete. Les.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
So they, I mean, here's the thing. Are they telling them directly? Absolutely not. But then the implication, I mean, and the kids know what they're talking about. And how else are you going to put on 30 quality pounds in the next 12 months? Well,
right.
Don't do that.
The one thing that I can say is that when Les trained all of his guys, steroids were never, ever part of the conversation. It was train, it was gain weight the right way. I mean, you'd see the guys eating the chicken and the rice and religiously, and they followed the program that Les put them on, and they all showed they all showed steady, progressive gains in muscle and size and weight.
Mm-hmm. I said, Kevin, it's not easy that way, but it's doable.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, and I realize the other stuff is a shortcut. And everybody's looking for that, you obviously aren't going to be as freaky looking. I mean, there's no possible. I'll tell you something too that I think I was just listening to a baseball commentary on NBC News tonight about the All-Star Game tonight and Bonds being a controversial athlete, and they were talking about that, and I thought, well, you know, it's same old, same old.
Yeah.
You know, but here's a guy who did he? Probably. But you know, they were talking about Mark McGuire's andostinian, and I thought, my God, if anybody really, I have tried andostinian. I've never done anabolic steroid in my life. Andostinian is a stimulant, and it supposedly brings up your testosterone levels, but only for a short period of time. And it's supposed to help, stimulate muscle growth, during a workout. But they've got it on the banned substance list. You can buy it at any GNC store. And it's, like any other natural supplement, does it work? Yes, but in tremendously varying degrees on different individuals, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Just like anything else.
I always tried to put some of that stuff, like on an ice cream sandwich, Doc. It didn't quite work as well, although I can tell you it did taste better.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I was thinking if this were to test out like some banned drug, then I could understand why they didn't want your system. Mm-hmm. But when I hear media people talking about it like it is an anabolic,
it's almost laughable because they obviously, not unlike what they've talked about for the last 2 weeks, don't have a clue.
Yes.
You know, they haven't really researched
it. The big demotion from the Four Horsemen to Raw, yes. Things like that. But we're running out of time, guys. Kevin, it's been a great first Hot Topic with you. We'll see you back again in a few weeks, man.
Yeah, what do we do this now? Every
every few weeks. I think it's every three at this point.
And the check will be in the mail?
The check will be there at the first of the month, every month.
Good. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
Right. And again, political, you know, for my burgeoning political career, Les, I know you mentioned off the air that I think I am considering a run for public office here in northeastern Pennsylvania. I do have all the criteria. I understand, you know, the performance aspect of politics, and I'm a very good public speaker, and I have very limited political views. So therefore, I think I'd be perfect.
Yes,
you're overqualified.
You fit the mold, kid.
Kevin Kelly for president, guys.
Just work on that personal agenda.
That's it. That's what it's all about. It's all about personal responsibility.
Absolutely.
Talk to you in a few weeks.
All right, Kevin. Bye-bye.
All right, Kevin. Take care, man.
All right, bye-bye.
Kevin Kelly here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got our featured guest. He's going to be on the program. He's the promoter for Deep South Wrestling. Jody the Assassin Hamilton is going to be with us, Les.
Yes, I know.
I'm excited.
Well, then act it. Would you please?
All right.
I'm excited, too. Joe's a longtime friend.
We'll be right back, guys, here on Wrestling Weekly.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Wrestling-radio.com for the latest news in professional wrestling, watching of videos, and promoting your own independent wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. Log on to wrestling-radio.com. Sign up today and get weekly archiving of your shows. Advertise your show on the main website. And also listen to other great wrestling radio shows, such as The Squared Circle, The Minority Report, Evan's Legends, and many more. And you could be the next one. Log on today at wrestling-radio.com and begin promoting your wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. We promise you, you won't be disappointed. Wrestling-radio.com, the Internet's leader in wrestling radio promotion.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures, you can obtain your need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
Wrestling-radio.com,
the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes. Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong. All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy. Because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now is our featured guest. He is from Deep South Wrestling in Atlanta. Also, of course, the legendary wrestler known as the Assassin, Jody Hamilton, is with us on the program. Jody, thanks for joining us. Jody, do we have you? Les, I think we lost our guest.
Hello? I think you're right.
Okay.
Hello? I thought I heard somebody.
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, there you are. Jody, how are you?
No, it's Johnny.
I'm sorry?
It's Johnny.
Johnny?
Yes.
We're looking for Jody.
No, I'm sorry. You have the wrong number.
We have the wrong number. Did the sir just not say he was Jody Les?
Johnny, we'll catch you later on the flip side.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, let's get the real Jody on the line, guys.
How do we do that?
I have no idea. We'll be back right after this. This is going to make a best of show, Les.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Oh, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy, because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Design.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
There's the latest news.
news and information on total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Doc Young, Les Thatcher, back with you at Wrestling Weekly.
Yes, without Johnny, whoever Johnny is.
We do not have Johnny this time. I don't know who Johnny was. But
listen, did I say at the top of this show that we were a live comedy show?
We are a walking cartoon.
This is Homer and Jethro. I don't know who this is.
Now, here's the story that came about with this.
Let me say right away, let me verify this. It's going to be, this is like the dog ate my homework story, only this is my version of Tim the Tool Man Taylor. And if anybody says that I pick on this guy, if you were dealt this hand, you'd pick on it too. All right, now go ahead and explain what it is.
I spoke with Jody Hamilton a few days ago to do this program. I wrote down this number that I had called. I call this number, and this man answers and says there's no Jody there, and I can't even remember what his name was. So I'm asking Les, I'm like, do you have a contact number for him? So he gave me this. He said, I'm not sure which it is. I think it's the gym, the office. We call this number, and we get Joe. Or what was the name? John?
John, but I thought it was the old Deep South office number, so it probably is no good anyway. But you got somebody, and I said
we should have interviewed him. We'd be like, do you like wrestling, John?
I said, do we wake you up? Because I'm thinking, damn, Joe's.
I know he sounded kind of low, and I said,
well, or drunk, and I'm thinking, no, Joe wouldn't come on here.
So he's sounding, you know, so he's sounding odd. So I told him, I said, when we go on the air, I'm going to kick up your volume a little bit. And he said, okay. Then he wonders why he's on the air.
He didn't know why he was, he didn't even ask what kind of program.
No, I'm like, hey, it's Doc and Les. And he's like, okay. And Les says, how you doing? And he's like, I'm doing great.
I think I'll hide in the woods. Yeah, if we win any awards, it'll be for Doofus of the Year.
Doofus? Oh, my God. What are we doing, Les?
What are we doing? I'm just for Doofus.
Les, this is somehow partially your fault.
I'm just going along for the ride here.
This is somehow partially your fault. I'm going to twist it and turn it until it is at some point.
Okay.
Somehow.
I produce this show. Doc is just an innocent bystander.
I don't know what was going on with that.
I don't know either, but it wasn't the right thing.
We're going to call Jody back, at least get back a hold of him at some point during this week, and we'll try to book him for a couple of weeks from now. Even if we did get him on, we kind of ran late with Kevin a little bit.
This is the best of this, Wrestling Weekly.
If they do ever syndicate the show, this will not be aired in as a rerun, as a best of.
Producer Young. Yes.
Good Lord. If anybody knows how to produce a show, please email.
Or if you don't.
If you think you could do better.
We already have somebody.
Which you probably can.
Doing a job now that's never done it before.
Good Lord. I don't know what to say, Les.
I hope you've got the 911 number down, Pat. You don't have that wrong, Ernie.
We do have an exciting guest coming up next week, hopefully.
Please, God, email the young lady and be sure you have the proper phone number, would you? I don't know where to, I know I've got
all that all the old Deep South information written down somewhere. I'm not sure where. And I don't, believe it or not, I don't sit at a computer when we do this show. So I'm not even, anyway.
Who knows? But guys, let's go ahead and end, just go ahead and end a couple minutes early. ECW's coming up if you live in the east part of the United States. Sarah Del Rey's going to be with us next week.
It's coming up even if you don't live in the east part of the United States.
It's coming up, but not next.
Okay.
That's my point. The next was the...
Okay, make your point. Yes, Sarah Del Rey from Shimmer Wrestling next week.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's the great Dave Prazak production and probably some of the best women in-ring performers in the business.
Absolutely.
You know, I've watched a couple of them, and they're very good. So, yeah, we'll look forward to talking to Sarah Del Rey. And we're having a girl on, so I know Doc will be sure to get the phone number right. And
he'll
because he'll be giddy with excitement.
Yes, I will. She's a great wrestler.
And we want to thank you for joining us on the live Doc and Les Comedy.
Wow. We'll see you guys.
Oh, Lord.
We'll see you guys next week. We'll have our stuff together. I'll have my stuff together.
We'll try to do something right anyway.
But yeah, look for Jody in a couple of weeks, guys. We'll see you next Tuesday.
If he decides to speak to us ever again.
If he does, yes. But we'll see you next Tuesday, regardless. 8 to 10 Eastern, guys. Keep checking out WrestlingWeekly.com for all the info. We'll see you.